That's the best one right there.
It's funny. My teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. And you're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joined, as always, with Kyle and Hank. Boys,
hello.
Hello, hello.
Another fantastic week of football, Kyle. Hank, we can start things off. Congratulations on winning the Winter Things draft.
The fix was in.
Yeah, you told us you were going to bring chili too today, and
I will next week. It's in the freezer, so it'll be good.
Promises unkept.
And I guess it'll be good because it'll be like before Christmas, right?
Oh yeah,
so
nice little treat
to the holiday.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think of it that way. But yeah, the Packers also played football. I guess that was important as well. We shit kicked the Bears.
Bears still suck.
Suck quite a bit. I think in our preview, I said something like it's either going to be a close, ugly game or we're going to blow them out and Nagy will get fired. And it was like a weird mix of
both. Yeah, weird combination of both. Yeah. Huh.
I think last week I said, like, I'm having trouble caring about this game. And, like, I still am, even though it was exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still just, like, I don't know. I don't care. Like it was really cool. It was really fun. It was about, like, all you could ask for in the game. But, like, I don't know.
They're
like,
just such a, yeah, they're such an insignificant part of the schedule now. Where you just, yeah, you don't fear them. You don't, you know, yeah, you just don't, you don't worry about him at all. It's weird. And Matt Nagy, he's probably, you know, suspect number one.
I wonder if he's still having fun. He's having so much fun, like he said at halftime.
Oh, man.
It felt like an action-packed filler episode. Like, you can't change the fact that it was still filler.
That's a good point.
It's like the last Star Wars movie where a bunch of stuff happened, but it didn't really, you know, matter or mean anything. You know, it just came out of nowhere.
I don't get the reference, but we're kind of at the spot now where I think I've mentioned this before, and maybe it was with Zimmer. God, the NFC North is such a joke. But like,
I love it.
It's like last year, or maybe it was last year, where it was like every single day that Matt Patricia was the coach for the Lions was a win for everyone involved that wasn't the Lions. And so now that's kind of the case with the Bears, that every single day Matt Nagy is their coach, 31 teams benefit from it just because he shouldn't be an NFL head coach.
And we were talking about it ahead of time too. And like Hank said, like even during the game, hell yeah, there's that crack. We didn't like, you were saying you didn't like care that much about the game, but it really is because, you know, we're even down a lot in the first half and did not worry whatsoever.
Like even the punt return to make it 24-14, you know, late in the first half, like it was like, Rodgers has way too much time to score again before half, and Rodgers will get the ball. Like, the Packers could be leading before the Bears offense comes out again on the field. And it was just like 0% worry throughout the entire first half and obviously the second half.
It's like when you would invite your friend over to your house who didn't have like a console, you know what I mean? Like a PlayStation or Xbox. And you're like, kind of like, let them get ahead and like, you know, get a couple kills. Like, you're trying to do the stupid shit, like no scoping them and like running at them.
The guy,
like,
feed them some dopamine.
They're like
just
shooting,
so he's
they're shooting at your feet. And it's like, they're, you know, they're up 10, like 10 kills. And then you still just come back and just destroy
you're
them.
You're like, all right, I'm going to sit up now and actually use my hands.
Yeah, let them
stop eating.
Yeah, just like the Packers, let them into their house, let them think they know what's going on, and it's like, okay, we'll just pass off every other life, and your life goes on for a while. You give it to him, and you know they're done almost immediately. But yeah, great game, a classic, just Sunday night football game. Probably Rodgers' best performance of the year, sneaky, even without having any type of
runs.
Yeah,
I mean, just some insane. Yeah, probably I mean, statistically, right. probably the best. And yeah. just the wow throws, too. I think.
I mean, with how many points we put up.
Yeah. That's
very weird for that matchup as well.
Great Rodgers game. Obviously, still very much 100% ownership of the Chicago Bears. And,
yeah. Is it bad that I'm, like, sick of that now?
A little bit. I am a little bit sick of it, you know. When
dads are talking about it, it's like, okay, yeah. I don't want to talk about it
And
anymore.
He said as much that it will eventually get used against him.
Yeah.
They win
yeah.
the big one. We remember our agreement.
The big game.
The big one. We're not saying it. Unless he wins the big one.
Yep.
Then, yeah, it'll get used against him, but... I'm not even going to entertain that thought.
What if Rodgers never loses to the Bears again? Like,
I would say it's more likely than not.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, for sure, because they're probably going to have to move on from Nagy, and they're going to be rebuilding. And if it's with us or another team, it's hard to see, you know, that happening again. But
and I don't. Never mind. Not even going to.
All right.
Do you want me to go down there? No, I won't.
Okay.
Will I? Should I?
I mean, I'm usually the one who does it, so we don't need you to do it
okay.
as well.
Okay.
But yeah, great week of football. We'll have, you know, our podcast like we do pretty much every week.
Mm-hmm.
Have our pick six, the six big plays that shape the game. Talk about the offense and defense. Take news this week. We're going to talk Ooh. About the MVP race, you know, the NFC kind of shaping up now. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. I think it's officially the first week of the regular season going forward
there
here.
You go.
But talk about that, you know, how the Bucs have somehow turned into the best team in the NFL over 2 weeks by the national media for whatever reason. We'll have Is Kyle an Idiot some Packers trivia, Ooh. And then we will have our preview of the Ravens game. Hank, yeah, you got something?
I still don't think that the Bucs can get a defensive holding or interference call.
Someone yeah. had a great
I just don't think so.
Great take. What did they compare it to? It was basically like they challenge the they harass the receiver on every single play. So then it's like they're challenging the ref to like call it on every single play. And obviously the refs aren't going to do that, which
yeah.
is kind of surprising considering they love, you know, pulling that trigger, but they just penalize so much that the refs usually only penalize the real egregious ones, and it's just such a slimy strategy. But when they're that banged up, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, it's I hate what obviously the officiating's been terrible this year too, but now I feel like an old man. We might have to just have like a segment like Spencer yells at Cloud.
Yeah,
but it is like it's turning into the NBA when it comes to pass interference at times. But yeah, as I was saying there, yeah, we'll have a preview of the Ravens game. But first, pick six.
Yes.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six. Yes.
All right. First, pick six play. Already in the
you
second.
Just, hold on. You just yeah. got to pick one. Like, I like how we're doing the pick and piss six,
yeah.
but don't do both.
Well, it's, you know, when people hop on too, they're like, is he saying piss?
Right.
Is he saying?
Yeah.
I see what you mean. It does kind of.
Yeah. Let's, if you're a new listener, you know, it's a nod to the hot piss.
Yeah. Choose your own adventure. Do you want to be explicit or do you want to be, you know, a normal Packers?
Well, no, podcast? You actually don't get a choice because we're going to say piss and we're going to talk about piss.
All right.
Team pick.
Okay. Well, in that case, first piss six play. In the second quarter, it's 3-0 Bears already. They are facing a 2nd and 4 at the Green Bay 46. Justin Fields takes the snap. Weird little handoff, throw forward type deal to Jakeem Grant Sr. He's a senior.
Hmm.
Quickly runs up the field, cuts to the left, runs down the sideline, scores 46 yards, making it 10-0. You know, little kind of flashbacks of we've been pretty good at stopping the big plays, but God, it's, you know, a lot of people were getting on the defense early and they didn't play that well, but God, it's almost like the Bears had a secret weapon with the speed that they had
that
with
dude,
a couple of these guys that I was not very familiar
that
with.
That dude is lightning. Wow.
It's like the Bears always have a decent, like, inside linebacker and a well above average returner and like speed
some
guy
short
somewhere.
Little speedster. Like, Tariq Cohen was the guy
yeah.
before now Grant.
Right, and it was, you know, Hester for the longest yep. time, obviously, before that.
I'm just going to put this out there. I enjoy, or like, I don't, like, I hate the big plays, they suck, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's so much better than watching them, like, a team go up the field for like 10 minutes and then score. Like, I don't like there's something about getting the ball back like fast and being able to like, I don't know, just I don't like.
Yeah, it feels you're not
like
wrong.
The last 2 years or like maybe longer than that. It's just like when we have had those like games where we've like lost or like we've had points scored
that
on us.
That is a very.
It's been just this really consistent like, you know, like kick in the thigh over and over and over.
That's
again.
A very interesting take. And now that I'm thinking about it more, I think it might have to do with the team.
That's what I was going to say.
The fact that it was the Bears, it was like, okay, this offense is bad. Like, okay, shit, you know, they caught a break. But, like, if when we played the Chiefs and, like, Tyreek Hill did that, it's like, oh, shit, this is going to be a long ass.
That's 100% what I was going to say, too, because, yeah, if it's the Bucs or, the Chiefs, it's like, oh, shit, well, they're barely even trying right now.
Yeah,
and they're getting it. Like,
yeah, but that is a very interesting observation, I agree.
And I guess, like, we haven't had it. Like happen a lot with the Chiefs, or like we didn't have it with it really happen with the Chiefs, but I'm like trying to think of like when else it's happened this year where there's been like just a big play in a game. And like I
the
mean
Bengals
I feel
game.
Like the yeah mm. the Bengals, the Cardinals, I feel like there's a couple big plays too in that
big
right
one.
Like
the defense dominated that first quarter against the Cardinals besides that one prayer to D-Hop and Stokes was in la-la land, but other than that
and I think I'd like would just rather have it be like, you know, like a three and out or like,
well,
you know,
the
six and out and then like a long play versus like
chip. Yeah. Then in that same breath though, you know, they score that 70 yard touchdown. And it's like, all right, sweet. Rodgers gets the ball back. But then when he comes out and then they go three and out, then it's like, oh shit, here we go.
Well, yeah. At least we haven't had that problem too much this year, but that's a very good point there, Hank. Yeah. That score made it, 10-0.
And the second piss six play, it is 3rd and 3 at the Chicago 48. The Chicago Bears have the ball at 7-10. And Justin Fields drops back to pass.
Mm-hmm, he sure
and,
does.
And throws a lollipop across the field on a simple out route. And Mr. Razu breaks on it like Charles Woodson and returns it to the end zone for a pick six. God, what a player.
Once again, just
rapidly ascending my all-time Packers ranks. Just this whole story is amazing, and it gets better by the week. I mean, back-to-back pick sixes, it's unbelievable.
Something I didn't realize, one, he is only 26
years
old.
That was a fact that's been widely spread around that. Yeah, I didn't even know either.
Yeah, because he's been in the league a couple of years. Like, I would have guessed 28, 29, but...
And I mentioned on a previous episode about seeing a clip of him, like, guarding Dez Bryant.
Yes.
And Razul was in an Eagles uniform. So that alone made me thought, oh, he's been in the league since, you know, 2014 or whatever. But 26 years old, just entering... his physical prime, yes, pay that man.
Yeah, first Packers defensive back to have back-to-back pick sixes since, God, I remember who's the corner who just got drafted. It's his grandson.
God, that just got drafted?
Yeah.
Oh, Patrick Surtain?
No,
it's like something that ends with a Y.
Yeah, no, I got it. What is it? It Herb Adderley. First one since Herb Adderley.
I wanted to
Adderley.
See elderly.
Oh, yeah. Which I believe was in 1955. And on top of that, which it's crazy we haven't mentioned it, Hank, your bold prediction, you've done this a couple times now where you have like a kind of still very bold prediction and then you put something on top of it. Well, you called a pick six, but you said he was also going to have two picks total in the game.
Which
so it didn't
he was
hit.
Close.
Yeah.
Very
he was close.
Close.
Should have cashed. I mean, that was tough. It was tough. I don't know. I think I gotta keep going with the really bold ones.
That's the whole.
You know, yeah.
But
point.
His are ridiculous. He had like 3 AJ Dillon touchdowns.
Yeah. You know what I always say? It's like I'm not pushing 3 carts. I'm gonna push 20.
You might as well at that point. Yeah. And Razul Douglas, like you said, a great story. Even after the game, someone asked him, "Why didn't he do a Lambeau leap?" And he said he was so pissed off after the previous series. With that long touchdown, and he was one of the guys who couldn't make a tackle. He was pissed off about that he didn't like want a Lambeau leap afterwards.
I love that.
So,
I love that. Do you love that, Spence?
Oh, fuck. Hell yeah. Huh. Yeah.
What if If like number 55 on the Packers said something like that, how would you feel about it?
I would like that. I would, but he would never. Okay. He would never say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean,
yeah,
I feel Zedarius? Like it's,
yeah, it would be
how
Zedarius.
Many Lambeau leaps is he doing now?
He's that's a thing. He's
I don't
just,
think he's ever done.
Simply
one.
Not going to. Yeah.
I don't like this tone you've adopted with Zedarius.
Well, okay, we'll get into it later. Let's put this on the back burner for now.
Zedarius has become the person, like the really smiley person, that there's a lot of anger behind the smile, it feels like.
Yeah, and those are the dudes you want to stay away from in altercations.
Yeah, in NFC Championship games, because he was staying away from quarterbacks.
See, God.
Okay, anyways, moving on to the third pick six play. That the return made it 14-10 afterwards, so it is now 14-17. Fourth and four. For the Chicago Bears, the Packers then punt it. Jakeem Grant Sr. once again fields it at like the 3 yard line. Oren Burks comes in hot,
does a little rope a dope,
totally misses. Ty Summers, Hank's favorite player, just falls inexplicably. Just
zero lane discipline. Lane discipline. Yeah.
Anytime someone, I mean, it's one of the longest punt returns in NFL history. Yep. Returns it for a touchdown and made it 14-24 at that point.
That tie fall might have been like an all-time highlight for him, too.
I don't know. I don't know if he has just any highlights at this point. But once again, I mean, it was back and forth very much in that first half. And we'll get into it later. But an all-time, I don't know how there could be a worse special teams overall game in, you know, NFL history for the most
really,
part.
Really? I mean, truly like a season's worth of embarrassing
literally
mishaps in one night. I mean, truly kind of impressive when you think about it.
We'll list them all off later, too, because Matt Schneidman was all over that. But yeah, not the best showing from the special teams there. But hey, don't worry, guys. Things did get a little bit better.
And yep, the ensuing possession, like I said, even after that return going down 10, I was 0% worried just because, again, getting the ball again right away with some timeouts and again at half. And sure enough, first and 10 at the 38 on that ensuing possession, 44 seconds left in the half. Deep ball to Davante Adams, touchdown.
Weird.
And again,
shocking.
It's a throw that...
Yes.
We just... I actually don't think we are taking this throw for granted. At least I hope we're not.
We need to have like a list of things we say too much, because this is one
it
of
really
them.
It really is.
You know?
But like to fit it between the safety there and then for Devontae to just whoop and then to have the Bears concuss his own teammate.
Right, yeah.
It's just amazing. And
Eddie Jackson's just lost when Adrian Amos in Green Bay.
Exactly. When that play happened, I was like, all right, this game is over. Like the Packers are. I mean, I knew the Packers were going to win the game regardless, but when they scored there, it was like, yeah, this is over.
I know that I don't sound that excited about that play, but like, because I'm just not that excited about this last game. Like I said, it just feels filler. But like, that was probably one of my favorite plays I've seen, like between Rodgers and Devontae.
So
maybe
pretty.
Like one of my favorite Rodgers throw of all time.
It was one of those where, you know, I hop up on the couch and I'm like, ooh, you know, because it's just a nice little cherry on top to any time. I mean, Devontae just finds new ways to embarrass guys mm-hmm. every week. And, you know, we saw it and we'll get to it later with his last touchdown, too, where the guy could walk his mm-hmm. routes and still be wide open at times. Just an amazing player. God, I wonder how many yards he's even at for the year.
He's got to be over it. He's got to be at like what, 1,300?
I think so. Hank, could you look?
Fact checker, Hank, please.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if
probably way off.
I don't know if it was a yes, no question. Yes, but yeah, that was one of the last plays there. I have the next one now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. After that, so fast forward, it is now 28-27, second and 5 at the Chicago 30. The Bears have the ball. Justin Fields drops back pretty quickly. Preston Smith is being held, still gets through, mm-hmm. forces a fumble, ball comes out, Rashawn Gary picks it up, and a couple plays later, Aaron Rodgers hits Aaron Jones for the go-ahead touchdown to make it 35-27. But yeah, big play there from Preston Smith, who's been coming on the last month. Consistent
all year.
Yeah, but he was a little slow to start the season.
1204.
Okay.
Damn. Yeah, so wow. He's well over. Okay. Yeah, I guess he should have.
Well over what?
1,000 yards.
Oh, I said like 1,300.
Oh, you
would
did.
Be my guess.
Okay.
But yeah, add this to the list of overused things. But I'm just so glad Preston Smith is a Packer. And I'm just so happy about his resurgence because, again, said it 1,000 times, but like the beginning of last year, the first half of last year, it was like, oh no, like we got to move on from this guy. He kind of lost it and then had the resurgence and has really been solid since. I guess I'm misremembering the beginning of this year. I thought he has been legit solid.
Well,
if not stellar, all year.
He's been solid, but he wasn't showing up in the stat sheet. You know, he was more setting the edge and stuff. And now it's been a lot more pressures the last couple weeks and sacks as well. This was a big game for him as well because now he's getting into that payday territory.
Yep,
he has 7 sacks on the season, I believe. So he had an escalator. He got $500,000, I believe. I think if he gets 2 more. He gets another $750,000, something like that. And here on out, it's like every couple sacks he gets.
He'll be even hungrier.
Yeah, like, you know, enough money to buy a house in Green Bay. So,
Spence, Kyle, I think what Spence is saying, he only cares about stats.
Right.
And numbers.
Box score watcher.
He's not for the, you know, elbow grease and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Zero integrity.
If you want to say that, sure. But no, I love Preston Smith is one of my. Liked having him on the defense, and he's been overall pretty consistent. You know, last year at the beginning of the year, especially, it was a little slow, but especially just the role he's taken for this defense this year, could not be happier, especially a guy coming off a pay cut and everything.
Yep. And then obviously you mentioned after the fumble led to the Aaron Jones touchdown, which again, ridiculous throw.
Yeah, we'll save that for Rodgers talk because it was like the touch pass game for Aaron Rodgers.
Just a little boop.
Yeah.
Like he had it on a string. And then the last piss six play that really put this game on ice, first and goal at the Chicago 3. Davante Adams runs a slant route that leaves Jalen Johnson's ankles in the Lambeau end zone, catches the football, and it's touchdown. Mason Crosby, extra point is good in all caps from Spence there. And the score is 38-27. I mean, they go on to score. Yeah, they go on to score again, but obviously this really put the game on ice. And I really just want to break down that route really quick. And I noticed this, I mean, not to brag, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco. Mm. Is he still Ocho Cinco legally?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, I who think cares? So. I think he
but
is.
But he broke this down on Twitter nicely, but I noticed before seeing his breakdown. But if you look at the route, Davante starts the route as if he's running a fade, and then with his eye, what breaks his ankles is his eyeballs, is he looks back, he just glances back, and then Jalen Johnson sees that and then commits to the fade. He like lunges, you know, twists his hips towards to guard the fade, and then that's what just opens up the chasm to be
chasm.
Chasm. Is it?
I like chasm.
Chasm. Chasm.
Chaz is a great name, so.
You to just be chances. Wide open and touchdown easy. But the subtlety of using his eyeballs to break his ankles was just so fascinating to me. And it's why he's the best wide receiver in the world.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned earlier, too. It's like you could get someone speed walking, you know, like remember that in the Olympics? That's like an Olympic sport or like the grandmas who do the mall walks. Mm. Like he could just do that, look up and like just go back and he's going to be wide open for the slant. And once again, we're so blessed to have Davante Adams.
Yes.
It's like it was. It looked like when you like fake out your dog, you know, you like pretend to throw the ball the dog was like turned around. Yeah,
it's pretty much exactly what it was.
But yeah, that the last piss six play right there, Packers won 45-30. It's got to be the first time we put up 40 points this year.
I could have swore it was a scoragami, but that score has only happened one other time, and that was this year. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and just a weird score for it's, you know, I get the bad feelings almost for a Bears-Packers game to have that many points.
Can we go back to the Preston discussion for 1 second?
We'll get to him later. We'll talk to him about
defense.
Nothing.
It was just like that picture that Will Compton posted.
God, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like, that is an all-time picture. And, like, that was, like, one of my favorite things I've seen in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, if you don't know what Hank's talking about, go to Will Compton's Twitter or Preston's at this point. I think he did quote tweet it. I remember seeing that before, too. He might have posted that on, like, Instagram, and I was like, I don't like seeing this. He's like shirtless and whatever. You guys,
it was like tattoo season.
Yeah,
it's like it's
our number
like,
one
it's
Instagram
great.
Critic, Spence.
It's great to just in. Like see them, you know, them being boys. Yeah, just funny guys.
Yeah, just having friends. Fun on the internet.
Guys being dudes.
Moving on, the game did end. Packers won 45-30. We'll start things off with the offense as we usually do. Like we said, Aaron Rodgers, probably the best game he's had all year.
MVP.
29 completions out of 37 attempts, 341 yards, and 4 touchdowns. No picks, obviously. Like I mentioned, and we were getting out with the Aaron Jones touchdown, just a couple nice touch passes. We kind of talked about it too, Justin Fields, like that out route that was just a duck. It's like Rodgers has the perfect touch on these balls where it's, you know, just a fingertip away from getting tipped. He had the, like we said, the touchdown to Aaron Jones where he just kind of lofts it up. And then he had that one earlier in the game, too, on third down to Alan Lazard, where it's like, how in the hell
they,
are
yeah,
you
they were
this?
Both similar as to where, like, how can he, like, how can he, like, forecast the defender's length? Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, in both instances, the defender is, like, a full vertical leap, fully stretched, yeah. Like trying to break it up, and it's out of reach, and yet it's still like lofted, and it drops right in the bucket. It's seriously mind blowing. I'm losing my mind over here.
It is like robotic. It's
on a string. Yeah. I don't understand.
It's like if you're dropping back and you have to put that amount of touch on a ball, it's usually probably going to get intercepted.
Yeah, a lollipop or like a butter ball. I can't believe it.
He also had the great play fake where he threw it to Big Dog, who almost scored, where, you know, faking,
oh, the play action. Yes.
Faking out the NBC cameraman. And we even knew he had the ball, but you couldn't see it and you were waiting for him. And sure enough, threw it, thought he was going to score another great play. And his play from the pocket this year, once again, with all the change we've had up front, you know, Royce Newman is the only guy who's playing the same position as anyone on the offensive line from week one. To get the ball out as quickly as he has, moving around in the pocket for the most part, he only got sacked the two times in this game. I mean, like you said, he's an MVP candidate. He's one of the top two guys right now. It's only pretty much him and Tom Brady, which we'll talk about later. Right. Also, speaking about quarterbacks, might as well get this out of the way quick. Someone who Hank is not a big fan of, but Kurt Bankert, pretty cool. Someone who's, this is his fourth year in the league. You know, he's great at managing his social media. It's, you know, after being in the league for like 1,000 whatever days. First time he got to actually suit up, came in for the victory formation, had the two kneel downs, had the viral Instagram post where, you know, his knee had the white chalk from the line from the kneel. So pretty cool. And another bonus thing too, Rodgers was the guy who said, hey, he should go in and do it. I didn't realize, apparently every snap he was in for, he gets like $1,000.
Bankard?
So, yeah, so he made $2,000 just nice. By going out there and, you know, kneeling the ball. So
that's,
I thought that was
leadership.
Cool.
I love
Hank,
Rodgers.
Any thoughts on Kurt Bankard?
I don't dislike him. I just don't, like, there's just, he's trying too hard. Mm. Like, he's just trying too hard. You know what I mean? Like, there's a point when it, like, just
would you rather
becomes,
him try less?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, like, I mean, take note, like, I don't, there's like a time when like, I think trying to be funny on social media is just kind of exhausting. And for me, that was like September for him.
whoa.
Like,
this is
I
an
like,
ongoing
yeah, like,
feud.
I don't know. Like, I just, I don't know. Like, I, it's just, I, he's not, it's kind of like, oh, honey, you're just not as funny as you think you are. Oh. Like, that's kind of how I feel, you know? Like, I get it. Like, he's a young kid. Like, I'm over here, like, old and grimy and, like,
absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it might be a little bit, no, it's not boomer because, like, it's, you know, because it's like that weird thing. Like, you know, he's no longer really, like, he's been in the years for, like, what? He's like 24, 25?
Sure.
So
he's got to be older than that.
20,
something like that.
Yeah,
25,
like he's not like, okay. Yeah, 20. Well, that doesn't make any better. It's just like kind
where are we going?
It's kind of like, oh, you're trying to do what like the kids are doing, but the kids are like actually funny, and like you're kind of just like recycling that and being like, I'm up to date with it.
That's honestly,
you know? I guess. And he does, but he doesn't really miss. I don't think he's done anything overly embarrassing.
He doesn't really hit. Like,
I
he
don't
just
know.
Doesn't really
he's,
hit.
He's hitting as far as the internet's concerned.
I don't like.
I think for like
a third string quarterback shouldn't have this type of following and this
like
type of interaction.
Maybe for like Andy Herman, he's hitting. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
not saying much at all.
Like, but that's what it kind of like, I don't know, take away, like, I don't know, like, it's just not that funny to me. Like, there are other people on social media that are Packers that are like more funny. Like it's just trying, it's because he's like trying.
Like MVS, that dude's hilarious.
Yeah, MVS and Kenny are like hilarious on social media. Like, it's just like kind of like trying to build a brand up in a way that's like so.
But that's what I was going to say. We are in a new generation of athletes, and he is like the number one esports kind of NFL player right now.
He's trying to do the stream stuff, right?
Besides Blake Martinez, let's be serious.
Sure, but I'm just saying, like, if he wasn't doing the online gaming shit, I would be more of hating on players on social media. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, I've kind of done that in the past. But with him, it's like, I get it because it is part of the brand and it's part of being, you know, a streamer for the most part.
Right.
So, do we have to keep...
I mean, I follow a lot of streamers on social media and, like, they're not obnoxious. Like, they're not, like, unfunny.
I don't think they're talking about the game.
I think we might be overdoing
like,
this.
Maybe, like, Packers writers...
The writers love him too.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Like,
I don't know.
I think he's like a nice.
He seems like a great. Like,
you got
10
more
kid.
Seconds.
10.
He's fun. He's like fun, but like, there's a certain point where it's just trying too hard and kind of makes me cringe inside.
Okay, there you go. That's a good wrap up. All right. That's very fair. We'll see. We'll see where we go on this journey with Kurt Benkert and his social media.
You know what they say.
You know, I'll be following along.
Don't try to destroy the cringe. Destroy the part that makes you cringe.
Okay, I've never heard that, but I will not agree with you, Kyle. All right, moving on to wide receiver Davante Adams. We talked about him quite a bit. He did have the 10 receptions, 121 yards, the 2 touchdowns. Slow first half. At halftime, it sounds like they adjusted and moved him into the slot to get him away from... Who was it that was on him in the... Josh Johnson, maybe? The corner young corner for Chicago who's been playing pretty well. But yeah, that seemed to open him a lot more up in the second half. Alan Lazard, someone we have to talk about. Obviously, Randall Cobb being put on IR. Lazard filled in very well. He did finish with 6 receptions, 75 yards, and a touchdown. I believe it's his second best game since, aside from the Saints game from last year, but...
Lazard?
Yes.
Yeah, incredible game.
And more importantly, what we have to talk about is the Lambeau Leap, probably the best, most pure one I can remember in recent memory.
So smooth.
And just matter of fact, business as usual, makes the catch, runs directly to, that's one of the lower parts of the of Lambeau as well for the wall. Hops right up, perfect turn, like I said, AJ Dillon's been missing this with his leaps. Yes. Perfect spin into a flex, Lil Wayne gave him a shout out too.
And then the mean mug too, like the angry, like, you know, I'm about my business look. And yeah, Lil Wayne shout out, that was cool to see, but yeah. Great game from Lazard. Let's keep that going. Gonna obviously need him down the stretch to secure the one seed.
Yep.
But yeah, let's keep going.
Especially with Cobb out now too. It's like number one receiver is Devontae, and the number two producer at wide receiver is, you got to spin the wheel between the other guys and see what happens.
How long has Lazard had like the rogue stripe in his hair?
I don't know.
Rogue stripe. What is that?
Like Rogue from X-Men.
I'm not.
Like, that's going to help.
I don't
Kyle.
Get the reference.
He's just got like a blonde streak in his hair.
Oh, yeah. I think he's had that for a while.
Yeah. I think it's, but it's like maybe like last season.
Hmm. Like maybe, yeah, probably.
Like it's not, he wasn't originally, he didn't originally have the stripe, right?
You know?
I don't think he was born with it.
But another cool tidbit about Lazard being a good teammate after the Razul pick. The NBC camera showed him throwing money as if to signal pay the man, and I agree on both accounts.
Once again, I've said it all year, NBC far and away the best coverage for far and away. Oh my god,
not
it's
far
not
away.
Even close. You watch Fox games and we get pissed for not getting any replays. NBC,
there was plenty of moments on Sunday night where I was like, "Where's the fucking replay?" There was plenty.
Well, here's something we can all agree disagree. On.
That's exactly why I was gonna say it's not far and away. Because it was good, but there was more. There was moments where I was like, "Can we get a replay, please?" It never came.
I don't recall that, but okay.
One thing we can agree on is the stripe is pretty fucking cool.
Yes.
Lizard's stripe. God,
yeah,
cool.
Okay, that's what I figured you were talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking cool.
It's like, Wiz Khalifa, I think? I think he did that back in
I don't know what you kids are. Yeah.
Hmm.
What was his whole What was this whole thing? Black and yellow? No, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, black and yellow.
Just like a 6'5", just unit with that, like, just that rogue streak down the hair is incredible.
It is.
I love seeing it.
Lizard also did have that one rush, too, on the jet sweep. You know how far Amari Rodgers has fallen when Lizard is getting the jet sweeps. But, yeah, not too much else to talk about. MVS had an all-right game, too. He did have three receptions.
Dropped,
20 yards.
Unfortunately, we'll dropped. Get to, what do you mean? We're talking about MVS right now.
I know, but that's special teams.
What?
Because we have a whole
list. No, I'm talking about a touchdown.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kyle.
He dropped a touchdown that was very, very catchable. I mean, it would have been a tough catch, but it was right in his hand, so that was tough.
Weird to see two guys on him in the red zone, too, and Devontae Adams is on the team. Moving on to running backs, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, both very good at football. A.J. Dillon, 15 carries, 71 yards, a 4.7 average. Aaron Jones, 5 carries, 35, 7 average with one touchdown. Very weird, too. A.J. Dillon, no catches in this game after 4 games in a row having at least 20 yards receiving. Aaron Jones had the 3 catches, 30 yards, and the 1 touchdown, which we talked about ad nauseum. A.J. Dillon, at this point, the last 4 games, he's also the highest-rated running back in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. Aaron Jones kind of looked like himself again as well after being a little banged up before the bye week, playing through that injury, if we may have forgotten that. But, yeah, no complaints. It's
I think he mentioned that he felt completely fine in the Rams game, so to get – then the bye week as well. It makes sense. He's back to 100.
Yeah. Any Dillon thoughts, Hank?
I just love him. There's a guy who builds the right, like, a brand pretty great too. Like,
yeah, that's
he's
fair.
Just like a brand of just like joy
of Wisconsin.
Just happiness, Wisconsin joy. Like,
he's wholesome.
He builds a brand and he seems authentic. You know, like
you're saying Kurt isn't.
Maybe that's your issue with Kurt.
Yeah.
You just feel like
I'm not saying that.
There's something underneath the surface.
I'm just saying AJ is very authentic. Like, everything about him, I could just...
We don't even know. He might... Do we know if those thighs are real, or is that like one of those Brazilian butt surgeries?
Yeah, plastic surgery. Yeah.
Who's to say?
Yeah, like a special like camera angle every time they...
That was, once again, NBC, I mean, they had the whole thigh camera, too. They were
also, the thigh lamp picture that are going around.
I like that.
Like, I got to say, that was pretty... Like, that was great. That was hilarious.
Okay, cool. I thought you were going to say something else there, but all right. Moving on to tight end. Once again, I mean... The biggest tight end production, I think we had a big production day last year as well, where even like Sternberger had some catches. But yeah, I mean, shoot, Big Dog, 4 catches, 51 yards. Josiah DeGuara had 3 catches, 44, and both of them had a couple big plays.
The Messiah is coming on, man.
I said it last week, too. He's filling in pretty well. Tunyon was kind of having a down year before he... Tore his ACL. That, you know, you don't want to say that, but
the one pitch where he absolutely he lined up at fullback and was the lead blocker and absolutely destroyed the guy, and the long catch down. Oh, actually, the drive before half. I do gotta slam.
Yeah,
him. It irrationally pissed me off.
Yeah, I'm surprised
on the Devontae Adams long touchdown drive. The very first play was like a nice shootout to Josiah. He caught it. Right on the sideline, and he just ran for it, and then like just didn't run out of bounds. Oh, it made me so mad. Anyways, but great game.
He should have, but it's funny. It's kind of like the timeout thing where I don't worry about it. You know, not having timeouts and it hasn't bit us in the ass. It almost has at times, and it didn't because the Bears got the ball back and still had more than enough time to score.
Obviously, they scored like 2 plays later. Right. So all this is being mad for nothing. But it's it snapped at like a minute 24, and the next snap wasn't until like 59 seconds. So it was just a colossal waste of time, and it made me mad. So.
I will say it's good to have a somersault guy back on the team.
Yeah.
But it's not good to have a somersault on the team.
Yeah,
Ooh,
wow, somersault.
Kyle, there you go.
Damn, somersault, that was really good.
Summers, no.
But yeah, Josiah DeGuara, too, something I've wondered.
I really like that. That was really good.
His snap percentage has doubled since Tunyon going down, which is no real surprise. But I wonder if there is an added benefit of a player like him getting more snaps, and he is, you know, that Swiss Army knife too, where kind of like what LaFleur, when he first came in, saying, you know, the big thing about this offense is coming out of the same look but doing a lot of different things. With Josiah, it's almost like you could line him up whenever.
Yes.
And now with Tunyon being down, he's staying on the field longer, and it's like, he's that kind of weird thing that the defense might not be ready to match up with when he's doing a bunch of...
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, even on like the pancake block that I mentioned where he came out as a fullback, like,
yes.
Tonyan, I mean, he never did that. Like,
right.
Did he ever line up at like fullback like that? Or did he ever pancake someone like that? Like,
right. Maybe last year, but not this year. His blocking wasn't really...
Yeah, I think he might be a little lesser receiver probably than Tonyan, but in terms of everything else... Much more versatile and
completely agree. That's a great
much
point.
More of a weapon.
He makes their team a little bit meaner
and beefier. Again, he's very, he just looks so dense, just very thick.
And it, and speaking of thick, he does have the thickest beard on the, Big Doug's got a thick beard too, but Josiah's is very, very thick.
Yeah, I was just gonna say like mean and like burly, but also like burly in like a pretty way, like he has like a little bit of like
refined,
have a little bit of like Travis Kelce look to him and Tim Tebow.
They both
look
went to Cincinnati.
Yeah, I suppose he's always got that extra eye black.
Yeah,
on the
cross necklace too. Always has the cross necklace on.
And Big Dog too. Last thing we got to mention, obviously he had a bunch of yards in the game, but he's showed off that new. And I wonder if he. I don't think he had it planned. I think like he had that catch, went to the ground, and just. You know, walked on all fours because he's Big Dog.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it twice. And I'm like, okay, we're going to.
It's a thing now.
It's not the best looking thing for a big guy to do that because his like ass is so high up in the air. It just looks kind of awkward.
That's
but
what makes it look so menacing.
We'll have to see if he does the DK Metcalf and maybe like.
Which is.
Lifts a leg up on a defender after one. That'd be, can you imagine if he. Okay, if he did that. We wouldn't want him to do that at Lambeau, though, huh?
No.
Yeah.
Ooh, you. U.S. Bank, damn, can't do that this year. Yeah. He'll be back next year. He'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's the first time he's actually got a 2-year deal instead of a 1-year deal, which it kept.
Wait, really?
Yeah, for the longest.
Yeah, but I bet it's one of those where it's like.
Well, yeah, every deal in the NFL is. Moving on to the offensive line, talked about a little bit earlier. Actually, I guess it was 3 sacks that they allowed and 5 pressures, but overall they're holding up.
That's amazing. 5 pressures, and
it seems like it was on the first half.
At least 4 of them came on like the. First 2 drives.
That's the part that had me a little worried. I was like, man, are we a little too like comfortable with this offensive line?
Right.
But then, you know, the last 3 quarters.
It's just, yeah,
you know,
it was
pretty good.
Unfazed. And yeah, that was the craziest stat to me maybe of the night where they had, you said only 5. I thought I saw 6 somewhere, but I'm pretty, 4 of them came on the first 2 drives and then, they just held up incredibly well the rest of the game.
Yeah. Royce Newman, we've given him a lot of shit this year. He's kind of bounced back. A couple weeks ago, Adam Stenovich kind of called him out too that he's been the least consistent player on the offensive line. He was the 5th highest rated player on offense this week, and he's been pretty good the last couple weeks. Matt LaFleur gave him a shout out too that he's been playing much better. The other thing to talk about is obviously Billy Turner's injury, which.
Damn it.
The game was Sunday. We record on Tuesdays. And unless something's happened in the last couple hours, we haven't heard anything.
That's a
good
point.
The biggest thing for me right now is I don't think he tore his ACL. He could still be out for the season for whatever because, we have Myers who's still out with having his knee surgery.
Yep.
But if nothing else, this could be his last year with the team too. So to not have to recover from an ACL is great.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Because, with Elton, we knew Monday morning, didn't we?
But yes, and that's what I'm saying.
Is that kind of the point you're making?
I tweeted that out too. When Tonyan went down, when Elton went down, it was the next day
we knew
that they tore an ACL. So unless there's, a gigantic cloud of swelling in that knee, I don't know how they couldn't know at this point. So we'll see.
Speaking of, what is the last update we got on Josh Myers?
So the reporters do ask him just about every week, and we haven't had much of an update. He's is Josh going to practice? And he's like, no, we're still waiting on Josh. So we'll see. I don't know. We could talk about those other injuries now quick, too. I'm kind of going back and forth with Jair and Zadarius. Even, when talking about Jair earlier this week, a reporter asking a question about, what are they going to do with Razul? Matt LaFleur kind of didn't push back, but he wasn't overly optimistic of, even worrying about that because Jair is still that far out. So maybe he'll be back sooner than later.
But he has, he only has, 16 days now?
Yes, he's got, 2 more weeks left, I believe.
And if he's not activated by then, he's done.
But it's the same thing, like David Bakhtiari, where he'll be on the 53-man roster, and maybe they'll wait, you know, they could still wait weeks until he actually plays, but he would take a roster spot.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And that's something too. I wouldn't
so
be shocked.
So they have
shocked.
16 days to bring him up to the 53.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. Za'Darius Smith, he still isn't practicing. He's still a couple weeks out. It sounds
any Bach
like.
Update for practice?
David
this
Bakhtiari,
week?
And it's weird too because Tom Silverstein, I do listen to all the other beat writers' podcasts because they should know their stuff. He's thinking that he could play this week or the week after. You know, he
would love to have him against the Browns.
Yes, he did. Yeah, going up against Myles Garrett
and
too.
Clowney.
Yeah. So we'll see on that. Tom Silverstein said that he thinks David Bakhtiari will be back for sure this year, and he's not sure about Za'Darius and Jair. So that's
I mean,
the weekly
God, I would be very surprised if Bach doesn't come back at all. That
it
would
be bad.
I mean,
but
yeah.
He should be at this. It's just, you know, a little scary when, you know, he's coming back from an ACL and he had to go back and have a knee scope.
Right.
That's a moment.
Like, I mean, God, we
don't have a lot of time
we
left. I can't believe.
Like, I thought there was an outside chance he was going to play against Washington.
Right. Yeah. Because that's the thing, you know, even when we threw him on the PUP at the beginning of the year, it's like, oh man, we're not going to have him for the first six
games.
Yeah,
like, shoot.
And now, you know, the season's getting to the end here.
And yet here we are. With our destiny in our hands, one seed.
And quickly, we didn't even get to it. Dennis Kelly came in for Billy Turner. 24 pass blocking snaps, didn't allow a single pressure. He's a gigantic dude. He is like David Bakhtiari. He looks like, have you guys seen Men in Black?
Well, I mean, he kind of looks like David Bakhtiari.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Have you guys seen Men in Black?
It's been a while.
Once upon a time.
So, you know, like the main answer, alien actually. In the first one, he's
we're
like,
on it today.
Yeah, we're fucking on it.
The main alien, he's like wearing a skin of someone else. Dennis Kelly looks like he's wearing
like
David Bakhtiari's. Yeah. And he's like, he's taller than David too by a couple. If you've seen that picture of him standing side by side, he is like 6'7", 6'8", just a massive dude. So once again, crazy how many tackles we've lost this year and the offensive line just keeps rolling along.
I mean, there's a breaking point, I feel like, though, and I feel like we're rapidly approaching it, and I'm getting a little nervous.
Yeah, well, hopefully David comes back before something else happens. hey, we're
David, we miss you.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of weird. But with that, we'll have a quick break and then talk about the defense. Moving on to the defense. This is a next-gen stat. Packers pass rush. Pressure Justin Fields on 19 of his 35 dropbacks, their highest team pressure rate in a game since week 16 of 2019. The Packers generated a 39% pressure rate, and they're the only team since week 10 to have
39%.
And consistently since week 10, it's over 35%. We're the only team in the NFL to be doing that. So that's, you know, you look at like sack numbers, and the Packers are kind of they're the top of the bottom third in the league. I guess I could have just said
the
like
top
20th.
Of the bottom third.
They're like 20th or 22nd in the NFL in sacks.
No, I like that way more.
That's kind of the way I talk, is extra words for whatever reason. But yes.
I like the way you talk.
Oh, thank you. I like the way you move. but yeah, pressure has been great, especially against the Bears who have a bad offensive line. But moving on, once again, the secondary, Rasul Douglas had the pick six.
Oh, can we just all collectively just... podcasters, listeners, if you're in the car, you're in your cube, say it as loud as you possibly can, even if it's just a whisper, just say it with us on three. 1, 2, 3.
Razu!
Thank you. That was good.
I did the whisper.
That was good. Thank you.
I was wondering. I was like, did Hank say this right word?
I added layers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Harmonizing.
What's that called?
I guess like alto, soprano.
Falsetto.
I don't know. Yeah, something.
I'm not a musical guy.
But yeah, Justin Fields, when targeting Eric Stokes, Russell Douglas, and Shannon Sullivan, he was 1 for 10 for 6 yards and 2 picks.
What was the easy joke? It was like...
Justin
Fields completed as many touchdown passes to receivers as he did to those three.
Yes, as many to receivers, and he's thrown as many touchdowns to Allen Robinson as he has to Rasul Douglas.
Oh, Allen Robinson, God.
And it's been a crazy year. You know, obviously, we've talked so much about these veteran acquisitions that have played very well for us, and people are like, oh my God, Goody, which, yes, he's done a fantastic job. But it's funny, too, because it really isn't that different than what Ted Thompson was doing back in the day, too. You know, we scooped Rasul Douglas off of a practice squad, picked up Devondre Campbell when he was a free agent after bouncing around other teams. You know, we had that with like BJ Goodson and Kirksey last year, and we've always had these guys. And it's like, this year it just happened to hit. And
I hate to, I've tried to stray away from being the, oh, I hate the national media guy, but like...
I like that voice. You got to do that more often.
I mean, I just, I hate complaining about the national media at this point because it's just like...
You're not going to like take news then.
Yeah, but there was a graphic tweeted by like the NFL account where it was like top 10 offseason acquisitions.
Oh,
and like
fuck
Devondre
shit.
Campbell didn't even make the list.
It's not Corey Linsley was five.
Yannick Ngakoue was on there. I haven't even heard Yannick's name. I mean, I guess like maybe I'm not watching enough Red Zone, but...
That's negligence. That's not even...
You need to read like the asterisks for how they're getting the information. Because yeah, half the time it's not trying to inform people, it's trying to get interactions, and that's
right. Like
what
I hate
happens.
Being a like my team more, but
there
like,
you
that's
go.
Just
yeah.
like
we need,
bad.
We need that once
that's,
a week.
That's objectively bad.
Yes.
I just wanna say I really like how Scoop Rasul sounds.
Scoop Rasul.
Like you talked to you said you just said
oh we scooped him
we
up
we scooped up Rasul like
off of practice Rasul. Squad yeah
and I don't know it just sounds really nice like it has a really good like mouth feel.
I guess I'd never thought of that before too, but just naturally in my brain it's like you sign free agents and you scoop guys up off of practice squads.
Yeah, like a really good ice cream.
Yeah. Moving on, inside linebacker Devondre Campbell, fifth highest rated player for that game, and he had 16 tackles in the game. Pretty crazy. He only practiced on Friday after he had COVID during the bye week. Thank God it was over the bye week.
Yep.
But 16 tackles, most tackles for a Packers player since the year 2000, which is pretty damn
holy
crazy.
Holy shit, that's...
That, Blake Martinez.
For Blake or even like AJ to not
or
do...
Nick
or
Barnett.
Or Barnett.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Or Desmond Bishop.
Yes. Moving on, outside
or Frank
linebacker.
Zombo?
Okay, now you're getting insulted there. Outside linebacker, Preston Smith.
Ty Summer.
Eight pressures. Shut the hell up. Eight pressures, two sacks. Now we can have our Preston talk here, guys. Ooh. Sorry for prolonging it. Preston Smith is a player I love. These are the guys. These are the free agent signings.
Oh, there
you
is
want.
A giant butt coming. Oh, no.
No, there's no butt at all. Oh. The butt is, well, is the other Smith. This is, once again, and I know I've been harping on it all year, but Preston and Za'Darius Smith. Look at these two guys. At the end of last season, I think we all thought Preston was on the outside. Z was the guy we're looking forward
to
playing
for the
Packers.
Yeah, the centerpiece. Yep.
Offseason happens. We have the whole, thing with Z's contract, his back, acting up, all that. We've talked
captain.
About that in the past. The whole captain thing. Jair, Kenny Clark, and Adrian Amos are all voted captain. What does Za'Darius do? He posts the whatever tweet.
Thinking emoji
tweet. Gets the stupid necklace thing with the captain symbol.
Mm.
Wanted to play through an injury, not have surgery beforehand, didn't tell the team about it. Now he's, hasn't played for the Packers since week one. Preston Smith also came back, took a fucking pay cut.
Mm.
He's been playing well. Was not voted captain. And what happened on Sunday? Rasul Douglas said this in his press conference. At halftime, the Packers were struggling. Preston Smith, who is not a captain, and this is what, the coaches said, as Aaron Rodgers said, you don't need that C to be a captain on this team, a leader. He's yelling at the team. He's saying, this is not, what the Packers are. We don't do this at home.
This is BS, which stands for bullshit.
Can we not swear on the
banana
podcast?
Split?
Sorry.
But it's one of those things. It's like, see, this is, it's two completely different ways to go about. Obviously, Z isn't playing right now, but it's like, I love Preston Smith. Could not ask anything more from him this year. Yes. That's what I wanted to get
so
out
there. So you're saying about Za'Darius is really hashtag not your captain.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially this year. Hell to the fuck no. Like I said, he's
right,
KGB.
You're going too far. You're going too far. It's okay to be annoyed with Za'Darius, but now it just feels malicious.
What did I say that was so far there? I said
hashtag
he's not my captain.
You said hell fucking no. Like you almost don't want him on the team.
I want him on the team. Don't get that
I don't
twisted.
Even think that's true. I don't believe you.
I understand the pushback because I'm very, sour on Za'Darius. But the question was, is he your captain? And it's no. First, we have three guys who already are. Then it's Preston. And then after that, it's like Devondre Campbell. Where's Z coming in? He's way back there, but that is a stupid thing.
Well, he hasn't
thing.
Played since week one, so.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah. Hank, did you have anything on Preston, or was that just what you...
I just can't get it. Like, that picture is so great. Yeah. Like, I just, like, I don't know. Like,
I don't
want to
talk about it. I don't like thinking about it.
How many of, like...
I think you like thinking about it a little too much.
Well, I said like we all have a friend, but like I don't have a friend, but I know you both probably have a friend who's taken a picture like that.
At least
like or at least in like the early 2010s.
Right.
Like when Facebook first started or like it's Instagram such a
Snapchat,
first started.
Snapchat filter too, or it's like come on.
Yeah, bro. It's like just janky enough and like bootleg enough to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll run through this as quick as possible because we're already going pretty long. Defensive line, still great. Kenny Clark, 7 pressures. Kiki had a great game to him, and Dean Lowry both had 5 pressures. I mean, such great bounce back.
God, Kenny is just, he's so good.
He is. Not quite a December yet. I think it's going to come.
So consistent, though. Like, I just know if I was like a tape grinder, if I was, I'm not. If I were, though, I would just watch Kenny and be like, pay this guy more money. Like he probably does.
That's
so
a bad
many,
way to do business.
He probably does so many things
that don't
show up on the stat sheet, and I guarantee he did so on Sunday night as well.
Yes, absolutely. Moving on, something we have to talk about. We'll do it as quickly as possible.
Uh-oh.
We have to talk about the special teams. Of course, it was kind of a good luck thing almost having Brett Goudon last week, and the kicks and the snaps were perfect this week. Finally, they were good.
If it ain't one thing.
But at what cost?
That well, I'll tell you the cost. This Matt Schneidman did tweet all of the negative plays out, and like you said earlier, Kyle, it was enough for a full season. The Packers, here we go, allowed a 97-yard punt return touchdown, a 34-yard punt return allowed, a 42-yard kick return allowed, a 40-yard kick return allowed, kickoff out of bounds, muffing kickoff, heading out of bounds to give your offense start at the 5-yard line instead of the 40. Like I said, that was the worst punt return I've seen since Pat Lee, who actually got a safety. Corey Bajorquez's 22-yard shank, Amari Rogers' muffed punt that luckily did not hurt us.
Called back on a very, very bad call.
And then MVS muffing the onside kick recovery.
I propose we do a moment of silence.
Okay, for who?
Oh, I thought that was it.
For the fans watching the special teams.
Oh, for us. Okay,
for us.
Okay,
yeah.
Moment of silence here.
When does it start?
Now.
No.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, right now.
Ready now.
Perfect. Okay, great job. Guys. That was perfect. But yeah, and it's... It's bad that we've had
so
to talk
how many
about it.
How many bullet points was that? Because that, I mean, that's
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, I was kind of hoping to get double digits just for the humiliation factor. But I mean, wow, that is, and I get the reaction is to just be like fire Murray Straighten,
but you
but
can't
like,
at this
like,
point, yeah.
Like Nagler said it perfectly. It's like firing Drayton would make fans happy for a day. And then
for sure,
like the problems are still there.
We just like, changed the hashtag.
Yeah. Like what? It's not going to do anything. It's about execution and assignment. Like that's it.
You know, the big criticism of the hiring of Maurice Drayton was, you know, you hired from within the building from Sean Meninga, the, what is it? What is he again? The Mucinex germ. And if we fired Drayton now, we'd be hiring from within.
That? Just go. All right.
That's the thing. You don't even have to look.
So
well,
for the uninitiated, Google a picture of Sean Manega and then Google a picture of the Mucinex germ.
it's the meme. It's the same picture.
Yeah.
But yeah,
like the Spider-Man.
It is getting to, you know, code red now with this, with the special teams unit. After the game, LaFleur has obviously talked about it, and he said all hands are on deck. You know, it's bad when Rogers.
Where were the hands before?
Well, that's what we're getting to on
just,
this.
Was it one hand each on deck?
Yeah, because
like on the field, like picking themselves up.
Yeah.
Literally Ty Summers slipping and picking himself back up. But Devontae, you know, they asked him about it. He said, you know, he's actually taken some putts in practice. And Goody came up to him and was like, hey, no more of that. But it is getting to that point. We talked about Rasul Douglas was playing special teams. Alan Lazard in recent weeks, too, saying he wants to. So we're going to unfortunately get more important guys playing on special teams, it seems like. Now, obviously, this isn't an excuse, but it is. Malik Taylor and EQ, two of our better special teams contributors, both got hurt in this game, which kind of obviously hurt us. But, I mean, you can only have so many excuses for a team. So we'll see. But
I don't have much commentary for the special teams. It's hard to like. It almost feels like it should be a pride thing at this point. Like, how does it? Like so many, like 9 different things you listed off.
Literally, like we've said like 3 times, a season worth of.
I can't believe it.
Do you ever remember like pissing your teacher off so bad that they just like at the end of class just like looked at you and were like,
didn't even have any more words.
Yeah, they're just like, that was disappointing.
Yeah,
and then they just like walk out the room.
No, I was always a good boy.
I know
you
I
are
was
a good
little,
boy.
I was a little
many
shit.
Pats on the head.
Thank you.
That was a little shit. I know exactly what you're talking about. And that's actually, that's how they, like, yes, I'm the exasperated teacher looking at the special teams like, I got nothing left for you.
Yeah, well, this is middle school then, because I remember going to middle school with, like, when all the elementary schools combined.
Converged, yeah.
You got a couple bad kids, and it's like, oh, shit, I didn't know kids could be this bad. I still remember that. Like, you're talking back to the teacher?
Nerd.
I am very much a nerd. But with that, we will have... Do we have anything else for the game? I don't think we do, right? We've gone pretty damn long.
I think, no.
All right, take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, just kidding. We're not going to do take news this week. We'll talk about Tom Brady, the Bucks, and whatever next week and all that. So, Kyle, are you ready? I almost forgot. Is Kyle an idiot?
Yeah.
I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right. Is Kyle an idiot for the week? We're kind of estimating here, Kyle, you were 19, 14, and 1.
Okay.
So I guess if you really shit the bed, you
winning
could be
record.
An idiot this year. But yeah, it's looking pretty good.
God, that's such a loser mentality, winning record. I'm done with that shit. I'm. It's time to dominate.
Yeah, we're spoiled here.
William,
too.
William, right? Is
yes.
Your question checker?
Yeah, he did not check these this week.
Damn,
I
was
going
to say, I need the inside info.
All right, Kyle, are you ready?
Yes.
I'll get you a line on William.
Thank you.
All right, Kyle, right now.
Oh, no.
And there was a roster move today, which I assume you saw.
Mm.
How many wide receivers do the Packers currently have on their active roster?
Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, Marquez, Amari, Winfrey. So now EQ obviously wasn't put on IR. Malik wasn't put on. Jesus, 7?
Very good, Kyle.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I'm wondering if we're going to see...
obviously Cobb, he's on IR.
Cobb is on IR.
Seven.
I assume EQ, going through the concussion protocol, will be back this week or next week. But Malik, he was out the previous week, too, with an abandoned injury. An abdomen injury, and that kind of flared up again. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to get thrown on the IR here. Juwan Winfrey does not return punts, so...
But I'm pumped about Winfrey, though.
Like, yeah, he looks fine in the Cardinals game,
He's got the great aesthetic, and yeah, he looks the part.
100%. Very good, Kyle. Yes, 7 receivers. And that always seems to happen. It's like training camp where, like, all right, are we going to keep 5 or 6?
Right.
And I swear to God, every year, once we get halfway through, we've got 7 dudes on the roster. All right, very good, Kyle. Your second is kind of a question. Kyle, who leads the Packers in rushing yards?
Ooh, you slimy little bastard.
It's between Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
It's... Oh, God. God. Man, this is... God, you're so good at the bullshit trick questions, because it's like, I don't know...
I want them to spur conversation.
I think in like 1,000 different ways. Like, I think you're going this way, which you want me to think that way. So then I think the other way. But then I think you want me to think that other way. So then I think.
I'm glad you
know,
think so highly
of
my process.
I keep spinning. I don't remember with Aaron Jones' missed game, and I'm not. No long touchdown run is coming to mind from Aaron Jones. And Dillon doesn't really have that either. I mean, his longest run is probably 28 yards on the year, but he's just been a little bit more consistent between the tackles. And again, I can't remember any long Aaron Jones scampers. So I'm going to go AJ.
Yes, very good. AJ Dillon has 602.
Yes.
Aaron Jones has 599. So he just surpassed him this week too. And it's crazy because, you know, I mean, fantasy football isn't everything, obviously. But Dillon has 4 touchdowns on the season and Aaron Jones has 8. And like, you know, we even
8
had
rushing or just 8 total?
No, I believe I think I think A.J. Dillon has two rushing. Like
does eight include his receiving touchdowns?
Yes, sorry, it's both. Okay. Yes.
Well,
that makes sense.
I think it's like two and four.
Yeah. Aaron Jones touched, one of his touchdowns this week was just like a gift from Dillon.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. It kind of, you know, shows exactly what that stat's saying, too. AJ, they rode A.J. Dillon down to like the goal line. He was tired, and then Aaron Jones came in and had the touchdown. But yeah, wow, very good. Your thought process was correct, too. I was like, yeah, shit, we haven't really had any big Aaron Jones like Detroit last year where
or
it's like,
Philly but what is, do you happen to have AJ, can you look up AJ Dillon's longest run this year? It's got, I honestly,
I think it is,
I bet
like
it's 28
that.
yards.
It's yeah,
something about 28.
Yeah, I think it is 20 or it's like low
Hank,
threes, but
Hank is looking it up.
Perfect. All right, very good, Kyle. Your third question.
Oh, perfect week, haven't had one in a while. Let's do it.
All right, throwback, you've had this question earlier this year. Kyle, what position group leads the team in sacks?
Oh.
Once again, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, defensive line.
Outside backer, inside backer, defensive line. And it was, I'm pretty sure it was the defensive line. How many, did the Pack have any sacks on Sunday night?
Preston had two.
Preston had two. Kenny... it's kind of calm. Kenny and Kiki have calmed down in the sacks department. Man. Oh, I want to go 3-0 so bad. I think you telling me that Preston had two is your way of tricking me.
I really think those might have been the only two we had on Sunday.
No, that sounds right. Who leads in sacks? I'm gonna go with the outside backers.
Yes, very good, Kyle. Yes. Yeah, it did switch and quite a bit too.
Because Gary started heating up.
Give me a guess for how many Preston total for outside linebackers versus defensive linemen.
God.
Or
I'll say like 11.
What do you think the difference
eight.
Is? Oh. Yeah. So the outside linebackers now have a combined 16. The defensive line has 10.5.
Wow.
Yeah, inside linebacker just 2.5. That's kind of why I put it in here, too, because it's been such a change than what it was earlier
in
the year.
Yeah, because Gary started just playing out of his mind.
Gary and Preston have both, you know, really turned it on of late. And, yeah, because Preston has 7, Gary has 6.5, Garvin has 1.5, and then Whitney Merciless, too. I don't think he had one at the time when we had it before. He has 1, 2, and then the defensive lineman, yeah, not so much. But
AJ Dillon's longest was against the Bears, week 6, 36 yards.
There you go. Okay.
Close.
Yeah, so nothing too big. But, yeah, very good, Kyle. 3-0 for the week. You did it.
Oh, that feels good. Perfect week.
You're kind of like us in the NFC North. It's pretty much guaranteed now that you're not an idiot this year, so that's good.
Nice.
Do you happen to have a stump spinning this week?
No.
Okay, well, that's fine. We'll just move right into the preview of the Ravens game. We are playing the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday at 3:25. It is on Fox. Joe Buck and
got
Troy
flexed.
Aikman.
Yep. Flex the three. Ooh, we got the Joe Buck treatment.
Yep, I believe that's what I saw today. I'm going to go
with
it.
I mean, obviously, the big news here, I know, sorry, you have your spiel, but you know.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
This is time to do it. No.
Well, just obviously, the big is the Lamar Jackson status.
Oh, yep, sure. I gotcha. And we still, did you see anything today? We kind of talked about that.
No, I looked, but... and I don't have any substantial update.
Yeah, I guess we won't have an injury report until tomorrow. But yeah, Vegas has the Packers as 4.5-point favorites and over under a 43.5. Overall, the Ravens are 8-5, just lost to the Browns by 2 points, which I did not like, as I took the Browns and the spread was 3. Did not enjoy that. But yeah, the...
Jeez, 4.5-point favorites?
Mm-hmm, in Baltimore.
In Baltimore.
Yep.
Wow.
And
I mean, that's got to signal that Lamar is not playing.
I don't know.
That line would not be 4.5 if Lamar was playing.
But the Ravens have been such a weird team this year, especially of late, where they haven't really been as great. I mean, they're not even...
And actually, they are absolutely decimated.
They literally...
Like, we think we have it bad.
They literally are the only team that has more lost starts from, you know, starters early on, whatever, than the Green Bay Packers this year. They are more injured than us. They're the only one, yes. But yeah, looking at the Ravens, kind of a weird team than what we're used to. On offense, they are 9th in points, 3rd in rushing, 12th in passing yards. They're the most sacked team in the NFL. They have been sacked 47 times, so maybe I'll get to the bold predictions. Yeah, Lamar has 16 touchdowns, 13 picks, a passer rating of 87. Huntley is their backup. Huntley, who came in last week and was whatever. I guess they did come back, but... Lamar is also their leading rusher. Devonta Freeman is the their top running back with a 4.3 yards per carry this year. Mark Andrews is their leading receiver, who is a tight end. He has 926 yards on the season. I believe he's now the number one PPR tight end in fantasy football for anyone out there who could possibly be fantasy football players. Receivers, Hollywood Brown, Rashad Bateman, Sammy Watkins. They don't throw to the receivers too much. Bateman is obviously a guy that we, I think a lot of people were hoping the Packers would have drafted this last offseason, but whatever. Defense, they're fine. 10th in points, best rush D in the NFL, but a lot of times when you see that, it is true because they have the 31st worst pass D in the NFL, so people just throw on them a lot. Yep. They're 23rd in sacks, so not a ton there. And I don't know. That's the Ravens. Kind of a, I don't know. It's always tough for me to gauge a team when they have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. You know, when you have a rushing, you know, former MVP, rushing quarterback, you know, he's the top rusher on their team. Tough to gauge that. And a team that, you know, you're so used to Baltimore being a great defensive team, and that's not really the case this year. Kyle, what do you think? What do you think about this game?
Yeah, I guess now sort of actually putting my brain to use and thinking about it, the 4.5-point line probably makes yeah. a little more sense. But I wonder what it would be with a fully healthy, like not banged up at all, Lamar. I really wonder what they would put it. I think, with how decimated they are on defense, like Marlon Humphrey, I think, is their number one corner. He's done.
Yeah, he's done.
So I think
right.
I mean, their corner, they've already lost Marcus Peters. Now Humphrey and I think someone else. So
they're running backs, Dobbins, and I forgot the other guy in the preseason, like back to like one practice or like within a week of each other.
Oh, Gus Edwards. Yeah. So I would still think that the Packers might be like 1 or 2 point favorites if Lamar was fully healthy.
I don't know. It seems like the right line to me because I do think the Packers are 11.
Four and a half on the road is a lot.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's a good point. But they're just a bang. Baltimore's so banged up and a weird team. Our defense is good. They've traveled well. And I don't know.
Yeah, I feel great about this game. I mean, obviously, we're all aware of what's at stake the rest of the season.
We're in the regular season.
And the NFC goes through Lambeau Field. And yeah, actually, let's put the stamp. This is week one of the regular season.
Yes, meaningful football, like
you
said.
We are officially in meaningful football season. But yeah, I feel great about this game. I am very excited. I always love AFC matchups just because you don't see these teams often. And yeah, should be fun.
One thing that brings me back, and I don't want to bring it up, but too late. I think the worst Packer game I've ever seen was the... wow, and I didn't even think of it until now. Huntley, the backup for the Ravens, obviously we said Brett Hundley. When Brett Hundley had to start against the Ravens, that collarbone near, that was the worst. A hunting opener as well. I remember watching that at the Crowbar.
That was bad.
That was
they
the
got
worst
shut out, didn't they?
I believe so. And it was like
the first time in like since like 1910 or something.
It was like 23-0. Yeah. Just a gross game all around. But I don't know. I shouldn't bring the bad vibes.
And then I think the last time we were in Baltimore, would that have been the JerMichael Finley injury, or did he get hurt against the Browns?
I just remember
a weird game in Baltimore in 2013. Maybe it wasn't a weird game.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Usually, you should have had the stump spending because that's usually like the last matchup between this team and that came up.
Damn it.
But I just remember we went there in the preseason, Matt LaFleur's first year of coaching.
That's right.
That was a really gross game.
The Ravens don't lose
it was
in
a
the preseason.
It was a preseason game, but I remember just being like, ooh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my point was, since we all know what's at stake for seeding wise, I think the players on the football team know as well, and I think they'll be able to get very fired up and dominate.
Yeah, and shit, that was the last time we played. I was right. It was 23-0, that shit game at Lambeau. And yeah, and before that,
I think I just remember a horrific red zone interception that Hundley threw. That was like, I think it was in the first or second quarter. And even then, that felt like the dagger. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, and it's, I'll go through this as much as possible. Brett Hundley, great preseason quarterback. Who was Graham? What was his name?
Graham Harrell.
Graham Harrell, amazing preseason quarter. I think both of those guys at one point were like at the end of preseason the highest pass rating in the NFL for quarterbacks. And that's like some of the apprehensive I have with Jordan Love, because he looked fine in the preseason. And it's like, well, these guys look really good. And not. I can't believe that Brett Hundley's like still in the league too. He's bounced around for a couple teams. He might be a free agent right now, but seemed like a good dude. But
how do you feel about the game, Spence?
I don't know. I said it going into the Rams game that I thought we were going to lose that game, and shout out to them for winning yesterday. We should probably
actually, yeah, I was.
Let's talk about it a little bit now, because actually we don't have too much to talk about this game, but the NFC playoff picture right now. I mean, we've got the Ravens, the Browns, the Vikings, and the Lions. I think if we're going to lose, could be this week, could be the Vikings too, but maybe they're giving up by then. We're the one seed.
If they lose to a Lamar Jackson-less Ravens team,
yeah.
I wouldn't push the panic button, but I would, you know, open the drawer, place it on the desk sort of thing, because that would be very troublesome.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it more too, and like you said earlier, using my brain, I might want Lamar Jackson to play no matter what, because it is an ankle sprain and he's a runner. Well, so if we've got...
Well, not for that reason.
I'm saying, you know, if we keep him in the pocket and he's got to throw from the pocket, it would be interesting to see, especially with... I mean, God, it's funny how we've wanted a new defensive coordinator, and... What is working for this team is just talented guys pretty much just rushing for and dropping back, great coverage, and that's it. It's simple shit. It's not this exotic blitzing stuff.
Seriously.
So if we can stick to that and just rushing, four or five guys, keep Lamar in the pocket, and then have Rasul maybe get like a third pick six in a row, who knows?
The luxury of just having four guys who can get home and then a solid secondary if those four guys don't get home. It's just like... It's such unfamiliar territory over the last decade for the Packers defense. And it's just, it feels so good.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. What was my thought the other day too? Because, God, Preston Smith and Gary. So Gary right now, he does have one of like the best pressure rates in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
still. And Brands.
And what?
And Brands.
Yes.
Bane Gary. Yeah.
Bane Gary. I had that as Take News a couple weeks too, how he applied for a trademark for Put Cheese on Everything. And I'm like,
did he get it?
I don't know, but it's like, why do you get that? I understand it's a saying, but you're not even a restaurant.
I love how much it doesn't relate to Bane Gary.
You're right. It's
it's genius.
It's completely like Bane Gary, like he's trying to be serious and badass. And then it's like, also though, put cheese on everything. I don't understand it. But what I was getting at is like, you know, we're seeing this pressure rate shit with Gary and how great he's doing. It's like, it's nothing close to what we had in like Clay Matthews' prime, where he would take over games. I remember the one game against Baltimore where it's like you literally had to watch him every single play. And it's like, I'm sure Gary's pressure rate is probably similar to what Clay Matthews had back in that year, which was 2011, I think 2012.
I think I figured out the origin of why I have such issue with you taking issue with Za'Darius.
Okay.
It's because I was at the game in US Bank when they clinched the division title, and it was the Za'Darius Smith game, and he channeled Clay Matthews that game. He took over that game.
100%.
And I think maybe that's why I just have a soft spot for Za'Darius now, is because, I mean, that was like an all-time performance, so maybe that's why I just kind of go hard for him.
That year was so weird.
Very weird.
That was such a weird year.
Oh, it was so good to be in US Bank for the first Packers win and a division clinch. Oh, that was the best. And I was talking shit to this Viking fan who was talking shit to me all game. And then I finally started to talk shit, and then he got all, you know, piss and moan. It was a good experience. Anyways.
Sounds pretty classic.
It was.
Yeah. But no, that's a good point, because even like, I mean, Gary's had good games, but he hasn't had that Za'Darius moment like Clay Matthews and stuff in the past too. But I mean, that's such a small complaint to have. I'll wait for this.
Anyway, so what's your prediction for the game?
Wow, you're pointing to me. I don't know. I don't like this is a bad jersey game, I think.
Really?
I don't like the Ravens jerseys. It's just, they're
like
very black. You know, it's, I don't want to get into this with you, but it's like, I think they're a worse purple team than the Vikings as well, as far as jerseys go.
No, that's not possible.
And I'm trying to think, because I wonder...
Well, because I'm picturing them in their blacks. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's a good point. The blacks are much better than the purple. Purple just does look bad. But it's, you know, a Packers white jersey with that weird either black or dark purple just is kind of gross in my eyes. So maybe this is going to be a gross game too. God, I don't know. I was shocked that we put up 45 last week, but it was such a weird game too. It was weird to just have that in the NFC North matchup and all that, and at Lambeau. But this game, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take the Packers. I think we break 30 again. I'm going to go, they're such a bad pass offense. Let's go 34. God, do I want to do that? 34-14.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. This has got to be one of the biggest margins you've ever predicted.
Well, I see.
Holy smokes.
The Packers defense, just in my memory, you know, it's like we've said before with our previous defensive coordinators, it's like veteran quarterbacks just rip us apart. And once again, just thinking about Lamar Jackson having to throw the ball, a younger guy, I just see a lot of mistakes happening and them not being able to do much on offense for the Ravens. And with the pass defense being so bad for the Ravens, it's hard to envision, you know, the Ravens winning this game. But I don't know. That will probably age poorly. Kyle, what do you have for a prediction?
I think, because even if Lamar plays, like you said, he's going to have to sling it from the pocket. He's not going to be very effective on his legs. So regardless of who's quarterbacking, I don't think they'll be able to move the ball that well. The receivers aren't that great. Bateman has actually looked pretty good since he started playing, but Hollywood Brown is wildly inconsistent. I really loved him as a rookie.
They're in Hollywood Brown is this his second, third year in the league?
Second, I think.
So this is his MVS second year.
I thought it was his third.
Might be.
I think it's his Might third. Be.
It's one of those two.
I had 2 years of painful fantasy with him.
But with the inconsistency implies that there are moments of greatness for Brown, which I fear could happen for sure, especially with probably Chandon being on him in the slot. You know, Chandon's played really well.
Yeah.
But Chandon is a volatile player. You know, you never really know what you're going to get. So a long touchdown from Hollywood, I could very much see happening, but that's kind of it. Devontae Freeman has surprisingly looked pretty spry this year for kind of the roller coaster of a career he's went through. I mean, he looked like one of the best running backs in the league when he was in Atlanta, and then was just like a guy for 2 or 3 years.
It's weird how quickly that happens.
And then, now he's like he's a stud again.
I mean, Adrian Peterson's a different type thing, but God, he's played for like 8 freaking teams
and
now.
Yeah, he
like
can't even. I think he's on a practice squad somewhere. It's just it happens all.
Yeah, Seahawks. All so fast.
But regardless, I just don't think like if Lamar plays, it's not really Lamar. And obviously, if their backup plays, he is not very good in my very limited analysis. So I think the final score will be 31-10. Good guess.
Okay. Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah.
God, I don't actually.
I felt
31-17.
I did
31-17.
Like I posted, the graphic with our score predictions last week too, and then after the first quarter, I'm like, we look kind of dumb right now.
31-17. I was flip flopping about a 4.5-point spread, and then to go and predict them.
Yeah. All right, Hank. What is your score?
42-10.
Okay. I love it.
I didn't do it last week because I thought I was in the playoffs for fantasy football, but it was actually a week early. I don't know why I was thinking that, so I picked MBS. Anyways, doesn't matter because we are in December, which is actually December. And my God, what a perfect matchup. As I mentioned earlier, the Ravens have allowed the most sacks in the NFL this season. A hobbled Lamar Jackson or a bad quarterback in Huntley. I have Mr. Kenny Clark putting up 2 sacks and forcing a fumble in this game.
Damn it. I mean, what? I was going to...
I mean, come on. This is my brand. That's like the one brand
I
have.
I was going to do a very similar one.
Okay. Well, I mean, you guys both did like 2 pick.
But I don't want to like one-up you, but...
You never have and never will.
Well, I was literally going to say, Rashawn's elbow was probably feeling a lot better now. He's probably getting close to 100%. And we were talking about, Rashawn hasn't had that Clay Matthews or Zadarius.
Just keep going. It's perfect. Okay.
So he hasn't had that Zadarius or Clay Matthews game. So I think this could be the time for it. So I think 3 sacks and a forced fumble.
See, there we go. Okay, yeah. Hopefully that. What if it does become a battle between the two of us? I guess I'd welcome it.
Or we just both hit 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles.
Yeah. Or we're both completely wrong,
and we're getting bombed.
Yeah. Hollywood Brown has 3 touchdowns. Hank, what do you have for your bold prediction?
Rasul Douglas is going to have one pick and one forced fumble.
Ooh, a force fumble.
Interesting. Okay.
Very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Hollywood kind of carries it like a loaf. I could see it.
Dude, Big Dog too sometimes, the way he carries his, him and like Kyler Murray. I don't know what in the hell. Yeah. Some of these guys, when they run with the ball, it's like, I don't know how you're able to palm it and why you're still doing this in the league, but yeah.
God, Kyler Murray's amazing. I love watching him dancing around in the pocket and then get out.
Yeah, he's, you see the one pic or video too of him with the Mr. Krabs. Like, yeah. And it's true. It's, I think of the meme of the little girl where she's like running with something and like looking back. It's like, that is.
Or people say Kyler looks like a badass little kid running from his parents.
That's probably the most accurate way to put it. But with that, everyone's favorite part of the episode, if you could please leave a 5-star review, that would be cool. If you want a koozie, email us, pmppodcast@gmail.com, or DM us on Twitter. You can follow us there too.
We are close to wrapping up Hank Miss. And
yes.
I think the postcards are flying.
Well, they're, currently there's a lot of hammering going on in Hank's workshop and, the basement is in full effect.
Got your elves working for you.
Yeah. Well, they're mostly like little furry things that carry diseases. But we'll call them elves for this.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the mouse room.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're still listening on, if it's Tuesday or Wednesday even, I mean, how much time do you think you got until you got to send these out? Because we do have a couple.
Yeah. My plan is to send them out this week.
Nice.
Yep. So.
Perfect.
That's the plan.
So yeah, he'll send out koozies and postcards. We'll all sign in. I'm sure, you know, you'll put on your fridge and your friends will ask what this is and be like, I don't want to talk about it. It's a podcast thing. But yeah, shit. I guess I legitimately don't have anything else. God, we could have almost had the take
good,
news.
Good down. Rip, fellas.
Yeah, I think good sesh. Kyle, do you have anything else?
Wow. I just love the Packers.
I do too. It's
so fun being a fan of this team.
I did think of it. I did think of it this week too. You know, just walk around, it's like just thinking too much about football. It's like maybe we did just like accept some curse where it's like you Packer fans, like after, you know, Aaron Rodgers won his first Super Bowl, you're going to have very fun, very entertaining regular seasons, but you're not going to win another. It's like, well, we'll bleep it. Do I have to cut it? Do I have to bleep it? I guess we said there would be some type of punishment.
I thought that I didn't think we were ever going to say it.
Yeah, no. I forgot because I'm not thinking like this year doing it. I'm thinking like this curse that occurred.
All right. Well, now I'm officially worried.
Okay, we'll bleep that
out.
You
for sure have to bleep it.
Yeah, I'll find it here. It's right at the end. It'll be easy to find, but... I just love
Hammond Spence. You gave me sorry.
Yeah, ahead. I know. Sorry, I'll try to be positive again here. But it's once again like a 45 points put up against the Bears, your rival. It's like we're so blessed. Why would you ever want to be anything but a Packer fan?
Exactly.
You know, even seeing like the fans from all over, you know, we had the Rodgers doppelganger who's like
love
from
that.
Canada
that
or Europe or whatever. It's like, why would you ever not be a Packer fan? Yep. It's just I think about that a lot. But. Mm-hmm. Hank, do you have anything else?
Just happy to be here.
Perfect. All right. Classic. Well. With that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Go Pack, go. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now, little baby, I'm gonna be put down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving yet. I got a 6-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes. Yeah. You can take the job or shove it. Cause I ain't working here no more.